So let me bring the first speaker. His name is Matthew. We met him last year in Kenya. He came. Many of you have been here when we have brought the teams from Global Awakening. Last year we had one of those teams in Kenya. And he fell in love with Africa. And so he's come back. But I know he probably has some good testimonies to share. He also has a word from the Lord for us. Let me invite him.
It's such an honor to be here with you this afternoon. This is my first time to Uganda. So I just want to thank Apostle Scott for inviting me. And I'm just excited to be with you. You have such amazing praise and worship. And let me ask you one question. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Let's pray. So Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're still that wonderful, miracle working Father. And I pray that you would just soften our hearts just to receive from you. Open our eyes to see you more clearly and to know who we are in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So like Apostle Scott said, the title of this afternoon was Following the Spirit and Finding Your Vision. But in order to do that, we need to be able to see God the way He truly is. And to see who we are in Him. In Exodus 33, the Lord told Moses, go into the land I have promised you. But Moses replied, Lord, you keep telling me to go to this place. But you didn't tell me who's going with me. And the Lord responded, I will personally go with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you do not go with us, I will not leave this place. Are we willing to say that? Are we willing to say that in our ministry? Are we willing to say that with our lives? That Lord, if you don't go with me, I won't leave this place. How could Moses say this? See, I believe he knew who God was. He spent time on the mountaintop in his presence. And he knew who he was. And it's no different with us. You see, every single person here has the same question. Who am I?
What's my purpose? Am I enough? What's my identity? You see, the reality is, oftentimes, we base our identity and who we are off of our social status, the size of our ministry, our financial status. But what happens when that all goes away? What happens when people start leaving the church? Who are you then? You see, if we base our identity on those things, we can find ourselves confused. We start questioning God. And we don't really know who He is. And sometimes, we start believing lies that were spoken over us. People that say, you're not going to make it. You're a nobody. No one's going to love you. And so we end up taking on this and we don't see God correctly. And we don't know who we are. You see, that was me. See, growing up, my father, he looked at me and said, you're not going to amount to anything. You're a nobody. No one's going to love you. And when that happens, I felt like I needed to earn people's love. As long as I kept doing the right thing, and I kept performing, I would find love and affection. And that's how I viewed God. See, I viewed God that He's always looking at me to mess up. It's like I was walking a tightrope. And that the only way that He loved me was if I was always perfect. You see, I was looking at God through the wrong lens. I was looking at God through smudge glasses. I couldn't see Him clearly. And so all of the decisions I made were based on how I saw God. So as we go through ministry and life, it is so important to know who God is and who we are in Him. So let's look at Galatians 4 or through 7. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, because you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is who you are.
You
are no longer a slave. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are an heir to God. Now let me ask you one question. Let's just use our imaginations. So I want you to just picture a big palace. And that there's a king. And then there's a prince. And a princess. At any time, do you think that prince or princess forgets who they are? Do they forget that their father is a king? When they're walking through the village, do they forget that their father was the king? You see, that's us.
Yes,
that's who you are.
Which
are you? You're a prince. You're a princess. You're a prince. And so wherever you go, whether you're in the church, you're out of the church, you're in the market, you are royalty. Your father is the King of Kings. Your father is the Lord of Lords. That is who you are. You see, this is the place we come from. When we're going into ministry, we need to remember that we are heirs to the King of Kings. You see, I think Paul understood this. In Philippians 4, 11-13, he says this. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. Whether it's with a full stomach, or empty, with plenty, or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You see, Paul understood who he was. He understood who God was. And his standing didn't change with his circumstances. It didn't matter if he had a little or if he had a lot. He knew it was God who supplied all things. That's why he said, through God, I can do all things. It's when we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. That we truly find our strength. It's in that place that we see Jesus more clearly. And we know who we are and we know what our purpose is. But I believe in order to understand truly what our purpose is, we really need to go back to the beginning. Actually, all the way to Genesis. See, the very God who just spoke life into existence, he took his own hands
yakwante mikono gye mwere.
And he molded each one of you.
Na tonda unishindo mukufe na watunda.
Just think about this.
Chirohose.
Just everything else, he just said the word and it came into existence. But with you, he took his own hand and he molded you and he formed you. He knows everything about you. And that very breath that was used to bring life into existence, he breathed into your lungs. And then he took mankind and he put him up on a mountaintop in the garden. And he walked with them. You see, our original purpose was to be in direct relationship with God. And so you have this picture of Adam and Eve just walking with God. And he says, I give you everything. Everything you see is yours. And I want you to subdue the earth. Do you know what that means? Subdue is not a calm word. It's a violent word. It's to take it by force. You see, our original purpose and design was to walk in direct relationship with God and make any place that didn't look like the garden look like the garden. Our purpose was to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And it's still the same. There was a problem. Adam and Eve started doubting. The enemy came along. He said, may God really say, God's withholding from him. He doesn't want you to be like him. And so Adam and Eve began to question who they were. They began to question the goodness of the Father. The very people that were walking with God all of a sudden questioned him. And they believed the lie. And the assault on who they were began. All of a sudden you have murders. Families are breaking up. There's mass chaos and disorder. And it looks like the world is just going to end. But God had a plan. And that plan was Jesus. Ephesians. Chapter 2. Verses 4 through 10.
It
says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. and raised us up with him.
And
seated us with him in the heavenly places.
So
that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works. So that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Which God prepared beforehand. So that we would walk in them. Jesus was the answer. He is the one that restored our right relationship with God.
And so that
we are once again seated in the heavenly places. And it says we are his workmanship. In Psalms 139, the psalmist says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. When was the last time you looked at yourself in the mirror? And you said, wonderful are your works. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We laugh, but it's true. It's so true. Every single one of us was created in the image of God. He created us so unique. He gave us different giftings. There's some of us that are pastors. There's some of us that are teachers. There's some of us that are prophets. There's some of us that are apostles. There's some of us that have a gift of hospitality. There's some of us that have gifts of service. We are so different and unique. That is amazing. And we need each other. But the problem is, the enemy starts whispering to us. And that voice of comparison comes. And we start to question the goodness of God. If you're in ministry, this is a big one. Because you can start thinking, well, look at that church. There's a lot more people at that church. They're having more healings at that church. What's wrong with me? And so we begin to question. We question who we are. And we question the goodness of God. But the reality is that God chose you. He chose you before the foundation. Before the foundation of the universe was born. Do you realize this? Before he spoke the earth into existence, he chose you. He already chose you. And as you keep reading in Ephesians chapter 1. It talks about everything that God has done for us. Before the earth was even formed. He's given us every spiritual blessing. He's made you holy. He's made you faultless. You've been adopted into His family. He's poured His grace out on you. He's purchased your freedom. He forgave your sins. He revealed His will. He gave you an inheritance. This is everything that God has done for you. Before you were even in existence. But religion keeps wanting us to keep working for this. And it's already been given to you. So let's think about this. Let's pretend this is a very valuable gift.
Let's just say I just give it to her. And she
already has it. But let's pretend she's just trying to work and work and work and earn so she can have that gift.
She wants it
so badly. But she feels like she needs to earn it for it. She already has it. It's already hers. She doesn't have to earn it. It's already been given to her. And it's the same with you. All of those things are already available to you. Why? Because you have been chosen. You see, when we understand who Jesus truly is, that we can walk in our true identity. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. He's saying, I pray that your spiritual eyes will open to see Jesus for who He truly is. Because that's the only way we can truly understand the love of God. And Paul understands this. You see, in Acts chapter 9, you have Saul. And it says that as he was breathing death threats, he was going to imprison and kill Christians. And as he was going, he had an encounter with Jesus. And what happened? He became blind for 3 days. And then a man came over and prayed for him. And his eyes were opened. See, he saw Jesus for who He truly was. His spiritual eyes were opened. And he could also physically see. And then it says he immediately went preaching the goodness of who Jesus was. 3 days before that, he wanted to kill the Christians. One encounter with Jesus, he was preaching, he is the Messiah. We have to understand something. Paul did not see God correctly. Even when he was going to kill the Christians, he loved God. He did. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing God a favor. Because he didn't truly see God for who he was. It wasn't until an encounter with Jesus when he became blind for 3 days. Does this sound familiar to you? 3 days in darkness. His religion died. And he was resurrected into a new creation. His eyes could see Jesus for who he truly was. And he was able to walk in his true identity. The same man that was zealous for God, who wanted to kill the Christians, is the same man who is still zealous for God, who was preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of walking in your identity and knowing who God the Father is. When we know who He is, we will know who we are. When our spiritual eyes are open, well, we know that we've been given every spiritual blessing. When we've been made holy. That we've been made faultless. That we've been adopted into God's family. That God's grace has been poured out over us. That He purchased our freedom. That our sins were forgiven. That we've been given an inheritance. When we understand who He is, we'll find ourselves being just like Peter. We will lock eyes with Jesus. We will get out of the boat and we will do the miraculous. The storm may still be there, but when we know who He is and who He is, we will do the miraculous. You see, we will look back. We'll see God's faithfulness all through our lives. We'll say, God, You've been faithful then. I know You'll be faithful now. And we'll get out of the boat. So let me ask you this question again. Are you willing to say, God, if You don't go with me, I will not leave this place. If You don't go with me, if Your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not leaving. But here's the truth. Sometimes those things look good. You can still have a successful ministry. The presence of God will not be there. You see, the Lord told Moses, go into the land I've given you. He was going to inherit it. But Moses said, I'm not going. If you don't go with me, it's in that place where we see the Father for who he is. When we realize that he's given us everything, we find ourselves doing ministry not for an inheritance, but we do it from an inheritance. Because we know who our Father is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we find ourselves in that place being like Paul when he prays. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work in us to accomplish infinitely more that we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want you to stand. I just want you to hold your hands up like you're receiving a gift. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for who you are. Father, right now, I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart. Help us to see you clearly. Help us to know who we are in you. Father, I cancel any lie that's been spoken over
you.
We cancel it in Jesus' name. Father, we just release your blessing over them. Help us to understand that you've given us every spiritual blessing, that you've made us faultless, that we're adopted into your family, that you poured out your grace for us, that you purchased our freedom. You forgave our sins. You've given us an inheritance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.